Majority Report with Sam Cedar, where every day's casual Friday. That means Monday is casual Monday. Tuesday, casual Tuesday. Wednesday, casual hump day. Thursday, casual Thurs. That's what we call it. And Friday, casual Shabbat. The Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
It is Friday, December 8th, 2017. My name is Sam Cedar. This is the five-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. Oh yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's casual Friday, super cash Friday. This is the uber cash Friday of the year. Joining us today, Cliff Schechter on the Week in News. Also on the program today, Andy Kindler on Andy Kindler. Meanwhile, if there was collusion, Dum Dum Jr. was one of the conduits, it appears. Wildfires continue to rage in Southern California. Al Franken gone, and up to 40 House members reportedly to follow. Seems the Republicans have been hoisted on their own petard. Question is, will it sink their tax bill? Protests around the world over the decision to view Jerusalem as the Israeli capital by the U.S. government. Jones v. Moore may very well come down to the black community in Alabama. And a key Pennsylvania gerrymander trial starts on Monday may make the difference in terms of 2018 for Pennsylvania. Brexit moving forward, and the cop who killed Walter Scott gets 20 years in prison. Lastly, I got my MSNBC job back. All that and more on today's program. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, let me first start by apologizing for not being on the program yesterday. I got a little bit, yes, no, the program was in good hands, but I got a little bit of criticism. People wanted to hear. This was moments after the announcement yesterday that MSNBC was bringing me back into the fold. And we are, you know, once a week, it's Mike takes the reins of the program. We were going to originally do that on Wednesday, but I was like, I got to come on Wednesday, because still dealing with getting fired by MSNBC. And of course, I hadn't been getting much sleep over the past week or so. A combination of staying late here to do like the video that we put out. Remember that, Matt? And then on the night that I got fired, I had to sort of figure out what was what. And then of course, so many of these days, so the past week and a half, I was solo with the kids, and you know how that goes. Saul comes in, he wakes me up at 6 in the morning, 5:30 in the morning. So I got a bit of a cold, and so I took yesterday off. So please forgive my voice. But I'm back. Last night I was on Chris Hayes' program. We talked about how the Republican Party is, and you saw this in the House with the House committee, I think it was Judiciary Committee, was going after Wray, the head of the FBI. And they are beginning their assault on the FBI. And, of course, we heard this report about the private spy agencies. Now, make no mistake, I think we should always have a very healthy dose of skepticism, and maybe I'm understating that, when it comes to the FBI and our intelligence agencies. they don't have the greatest track record when it comes to things like civil liberties, staying in their lane, not destabilizing other countries when it comes to certain of our intelligence, assassinating people, et cetera, et cetera. And I certainly would be supportive of any party that was looking for genuine reform. I don't think that's what's going on here. Okay. And the point that I was making, and it's interesting to see. Now, look, because I've been involved in talk radio and for my entire political, you know, my career associated with politics, I've had a more ground floor view of the Republican Party. 2006, Stephen Sherrill and I wrote a book about the Republican Party, about the movement conservatives, leaned a little bit more heavily on the theocrats that are still out there. They're just not sort of front and center. But basically the argument was this. The margins of the Republican Party have moved to the center. And if they don't have the control of the levers, if they don't have the wheel of the car, they're sitting in the back telling the driver where to go. And the idea that there are people coming out going like, I can't believe that the president of the United States and the Republican Party is attacking the institution of the FBI and our intelligence agencies. It's just, this is beyond the pale. And my attitude was, well, yes, it's a step further, but it's not, you know, people are looking at this as like some type of like continuum, and it's not. It's just that whatever is causing them a problem at any given time is where they'll cross the line. Okay? Because as an institution, they have attacked science. As an institution, they have attacked the media. As an institution, they have attacked reality. The idea that they're, as an maybe not as an institution, but as a notion, they've attacked the idea that, you know, automatically child molesting is wrong. You got to look at it in context, you know.
There's some nuance to that.
Honestly, have we not heard that?
That was literally the first appearance, I believe, by Pollock on Breitbart.
Right.
When it broke.
Right. Okay, she's 16. Yeah, but you just lumped that together with 14-year-olds. When you're talking about a 32-year-old district attorney. And so, yes, they're going after the FBI. And part of it very well may be because of the stories that we're starting to see now. You know, we'll talk a little bit about that with Cliff. But this is the modus operandi. And whether it's attacking these institutions or sort of taking a piece of satire and trying to pretend that it says something that it doesn't. And so it was fun. Went on Hayes last night, had a good time. Saw the AD in the, you know, the guy basically just make sure the camera guys are in the right place. He just said, I can't remember what the exchange was. It was something like, feels like it's been forever, Sam. And that was about it.
They said, like, Sam, could you do a Mike Cernovich impression, please?
They did not bring me on to do the
Cernovich. I was very disappointed that I wasn't also invited and that you, Hayes, and I didn't just do a full block of Cernovich impression. That would be some exceptional MSNBC program.
That
right
would
there.
Have been, I'll tell you something, it's sorely lacking. So. Yeah, I think it. I was thinking about just breaking out into a suffering succotash.
Do you know that was my? You texted that, and when you texted us the news, and I had not seen it yet. I was just getting out of the shower and everything, and the first thing that I tweeted, why is that so funny?
No, I thought you were going to respond going suffering succotash, and I realized like that is what
that was literally the I tweeted suffering succotash to Cernovich. That was my first response.
We're going to talk a little bit about Mike Cernovich in a moment because he had a tough time yesterday. I'm really sorry about this.
He invited, but he said, yeah.
But before we get to that, are you always losing your stuff? Now, I don't mean are you losing in your attempt to smear someone on a tweeting or something like that, you know, losing all this, because a lot of stuff was invested in that, but we're going to get to that. I'm talking about do you lose your keys a lot? Yes. This is what I'm going to get from Myla.
Yes.
You do?
The answer is yes.
All right. This is going to be great for you then. Jamie, you're going to love this. Because I've tried this out and I'm trying to get Myla. She doesn't lose her keys. She just doesn't bring them anywhere. Like she leaves the house and doesn't bring them in. But if you're losing your stuff, there has been something that's fundamentally changed. This is going to fundamentally change your life, Jamie. I don't know. Maybe that's not true. But maybe. 8 years ago, Tracker changed everything. They released their first tracking device. Now they've done it again with the all-new Tracker Pixel. With Tracker Pixel, you never worry about losing your things again. It's a little thing. It's about this size. It's a little even smaller. And it's the lightest Bluetooth tracking device on the market. You place the tracker on whatever you tend to lose, keys, wallets, purse, you can fit it anywhere. When you misplace an item, it has the Tracker Pixel attached. You use your smartphone and a 90 decibel alert will help you find it in seconds. It has even like a little LED light on it so you can find it in the dark. Lose your phone and you got your tracker, right? Like, okay, you put the tracker in your wallet or you have it on your keys, you have it in your keychain, you can't find your phone, you press the button on your tracker and it does the reverse. Now, but here's the thing. You're like, well, Bluetooth, how's that help me? Because what if I lose them, like, I don't know, on the other side of the parking lot or, I live in a big house or you can locate.
I live in a big house.
I don't know. I guess there's possible people could live in a big house where Bluetooth wouldn't reach. But here's the thing. You can locate the item even if it's miles away. Because Tracker uses, it's part of the largest crowd locating network in the world. So it's sort of like Waze, which is this crowdsourced car mapping thing that tells you where the police officers are, just in case you need one as you're driving, or I don't know the propriety of those things, or where the traffic's building up. I mean, so it has the same similar idea there. Tracker makes a great gift. During this holiday season, you can get 20% off your order when you go to thetracker.com. That's the tracker, TRACKR.com/majority. That's the tracker, TRACKR.com/majority for 20% off. That's thetracker/majority.
I'm going to put one on everything I own, and my husband will thank them very much.
There's going to be a lot of, like, 90 decibel beeps going off there. All right. So I want to play this clip. Mike Cernovich has obviously also been getting some press attention lately. I've done a bunch of interviews, some on print, some on radio. Regarding the past week. I imagine most people know the story. And so here is Mike Cernovich. It says it's an NPR interview, but now Mike is very excited about this, or he appears to be. So Mike had this interview set up with Bob Garfield. His program is On the Media. It is a WNYC production.
Yeah, he co-hosts it with Brooke Gladstone.
Okay. And Bob Garfield was interviewing Mike Cernovich, and apparently the interview sort of fell apart, and Cernovich put this audio up before the actual show came out. And he put it on his Facebook and said, boom, like explosion. Mike shuts down NPR interview. Now, of course, it's not NPR, but it plays on a lot of NPR stations. And Mike does shut it down. But let's get into this because this is really interesting. And I have a feeling Mike's going to have a lot of booms going forward.
Let me give you an example of a published statement
that is indicting on its face, that is not open for other interpretation.
Pause
that
it
is
for one second. Now, I don't know what Bob is talking about here when he's talking to Cernovich. I'm going to take the time during this piece. Go back to the beginning, because he says, which isn't indicting on its face and isn't, you know, subject to misinterpretation. I'm not sure what Bob is referring to there. Let me think about it during the course of what we hear here.
Let me give you an example of a published statement that is indicting on its face, that is not open for other interpretation, that is smoking gun evidence of depravity. And it concerns what to do the day after you have date raped someone.
Whoa, well, see, now you're lying. No, I've never said date rape. I've said definitely there are many false rape accusations. No, you're lying now. You're lying. If you think you're going to lie, no, you're lying. You are lying right now. You're not going to lie and mischaracterize what I said. Let's understand that right now. You're not running anything, sir. If you want to have a real conversation, we can. If you want to play little games and lie, then we're not going to stand up for that. You are fraud. You're fraud. This call is over. I'm going to post the audio, obviously, because we both recorded.
I'm going to read you a direct quote.
So you're a fraud. You're a liar. So this is over.
Yeah. Now, he got very, very nervous about that. And this, you know, it's weird that Mike would get so nervous about this and call this guy, what was his name, Bob
Garfield.
A liar, because when I was interviewed by Bob Garfield 20 hours before Mike Cernovich was, and I was telling him about all the horrible tweets that Mike Cernovich had put out there, we didn't have that problem at all. And in fact,
he didn't hang up on you?
No, and I didn't hang up on him when we read my tweet, because I was perfectly willing to talk about my tweet. Oh, wait. Oh, here's that Mike Cernovich tweet. Have you guys ever tried raping? He put it in quotes. A girl without using force? Try it. It's basically impossible. Date rape doesn't exist. But I got to be fair to Mike here, because I think that what Bob Garfield was talking about was Mike Cernovich's instructions on what to do after, so that you send them texts and whatnot. But so I wonder if this is going to be something that Mike is going to run into from now on, where somehow reporters in the media might be more aware of things that Mike has done in the past. That's going to be a lot of booms. But, Mike, incidentally, I have a message for you from my daughter. Who had some pretty choice things to say about you, but I'm
not going
to
fit
them
for air.
But
I actually heard these. Shocking.
This is my message.
Who's laughing now, Sam?
That's called a dab.
Who's laughing now, Sam?
That's called a dab. Folks, why am I in such a good mood? Well, of course, because yesterday I had the, what was it, yesterday or 2 days ago? When was the box of Sherry Berry's delivered?
It was actually, I believe, Tuesday.
Okay, it was Tuesday. And I'm in such a good mood because I had the perfect justification to go hog wild on that book of, on that box of Sherry Berry's. And, you know, last time we got a shipment in, I was like, I can only have one. And then I had to deliberate about the second one, and I cut it in half, and then I cut it in quarters, and I ate the whole thing anyways. Because they're delicious. But on Tuesday, I was feeling like, you know what? I deserve a break. And I'm not going to inhibit the amount of Sherry's Berries that I want to eat. And then I ate almost the entire box. They are delicious. And no matter who you're shopping for this holiday season, Sherry's Berries has the perfect gift for everyone on your list. This holiday, my listeners can get fresh and delicious Sherry's Berries, dipped in white milk and dark chocolatey goodness, starting at $19.99 plus shipping and handling. Or check this out. You can double the berries for just 10 bucks more. Your gift will include a free keepsake dessert platter. That's two gifts in one. Customer satisfaction is always number one, or your money back. Gifts arrive packaged in Sherry's Berries signature box. Or, and so you've got no requirement for you to wrap. It is a great gift. It's a great gift. You go in to visit your parents, or you're going to visit your kids, you don't want to fly on the plane with a gift, boom, you send this. You show up there, they land, you got to time it so that they show up when you just come in the house so that you can grab one because they're delicious. Cheesecake Christmas trees, artisanal chocolate truffles. Jeez, it's absurd. It's more than just berries. Anyways, the only way to get this amazing $19.99 deal is visit berries.com. Berries, spelled like berries, berries.com. Click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Enter my code CEDAR at checkout. That's S-E-D-E-R at checkout. Remember, when you double the berries for just 10 bucks more, your gift will include a free keepsake platter. That is berries.com. berries.com, code CEDAR, which is S-E-D-E-R. Check it out. Do yourself a favor, seriously. Also, this is interesting. Support for today's show comes from Health IQ. And again, I appreciate every one of these advertisers who stayed with us through this thing. And it's been great. It's been great. Health IQ believes the best way to improve the health of the world is to celebrate the health conscious through social and financial rewards. This is a fascinating idea. 56% of Health IQ customers save between 4 and 33% on their life insurance. And these savings are exclusive to Health IQ. It's sort of like how you save money on car insurance if you have a great driving record. Well, Health IQ gets you lower rates on health and on life insurance if you live a health conscious lifestyle. So you can actually I think, Jamie, because you're a vegan.
I'm a pescatarian, but I'm mostly vegan.
I bet you pescatarian. I don't know. You go check it out, but I would imagine. Physically active people have a 34% lower risk of all-cause mortality, 56% lower risk of heart disease, and a 22% decrease in cancer mortality compared to people who remain inactive. So that health consciousness of yours turns into a decreased mortality chances, and it decreases your life insurance. To see if you qualify, get your free quote today at HealthIQ, spelled just like you would imagine, healthiq.com/majority, or mention the promo code majority when you talk to a Health IQ agent. That's healthiq.com/majority to get your free quote. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Cliff Schechter. We are back. Sam Cedar on the Majority Report. Ladies and gentlemen, as we return to normalcy around these parts, one of the ways that we'll do that is by returning to this classic Friday ditty.
CliffShack.com, Libertas LLC, New Media, Public Relations, and Strategy. You want any of these services, you know who you gotta see. CliffShack.com, Libertas LLC.
Yes, Cliff Schechter. Hello, Cliff.
How's it going, Sammy?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm fine.
Can I call you MSNBC pundit, Sam Cedar?
Sure. I never took it off my Twitter bio, I guess. So, there you go.
Well, that's kind of cool. You have to keep trying to you have to use that to brag about yourself and sort of, prove your importance, so you leave it there, even if they get rid of you for a little bit, and then before you know it, you're back and you never had to really put the hard work in of changing it.
Here's the key. If you ever get fired from a jack, you leave it in your Twitter bio and then it sort of boxes everybody in.
They don't know what to do with it, do they?
No, it's like, oh, well,
it's still in his bio. We better hire him.
We'll take it off his Twitter bio. I guess, all right. I think I've mentioned this on the show. There's stories that I've heard in L.A. where somebody gets fired from a sitcom and for some reason they don't get the word. And so they just show up the next day and nobody out there wants to be the bearer of bad news. So they don't tell them for the entire day as they're on there. Just sort of like weird around that person.
Well, does nobody has the courage in L.A. to just be like, dude.
Well, this is also back when there was no security when you would go into places. Like now you'd show up. I mean, if I had tried that with MSNBC, I just showed up one day and I was like, hey, why is everybody giving me a weird
sounds
eye?
A lot like. What? It sounds a lot like George Costanza when he didn't know he had the job. You just go in and you just like you have it.
Right. Well, that's probably
that episode of Seinfeld.
The
Penske file. I need the Penske file. Yeah. I mean, that's what you should. If they hadn't you should have just kept going into MSNBC during Hayes' show. And be like, okay, I'm ready to go on.
Just pretend I got a call.
Yeah. Sure. Eventually, maybe they just give in, let you do it. I mean, the truth is, most people don't know this, but you fired me 2.5 years ago. I just keep coming on Fridays, and you don't know what to do about it, so you just sort of let me go.
It's the theme song. It's the theme song. Comes on automatically. We haven't figured out how to take that
off. That's
like
my Twitter bio. As long as I have that theme song, you can't get rid of me. In fact, if you do get rid of me, I'm just gonna send out tweets playing that. Put it up on Facebook everywhere. I may just follow you around.
Believe me, the way that we get you off the show is we pull a tweet out of your timeline, and we will then hype it. I will write it.
Oh my God, I can't believe Cliff said that.
Yes.
Wait. So then, after that happens, does that mean that Cliff gets to take over the show?
Okay.
After we take a tweet of his out of context, and then 2 days later, after massive outpouring of rage, Cliff is like, something.
Well, let's put it this way.
Like a few months ago, I'm sure you can find a tweet where I'm like, oh, yeah, absolutely. I'd love it if Donald Trump blew up North Korea and the world. And clearly that was meant in a very sort of straightforward way.
Right, Schechter calls for mass killing of Koreans. I don't want to be associated with him anymore.
He's racist. Right, Cliff is racist and calls for mass killing of Koreans and should be fired.
All right, well, Cliffy.
Although I will say, I'm not sure how powerful they are, but there already were two people calling on Michael Brooks calling on Michael to fire me on Twitter.
Really? Well,
I will take it under advisement.
Apparently I'm very happy. And what was fun about it too, Sam? I'll tell you about just because I love the language used. Is the guy said that you're an even bigger hack than the pundits who are on MSNBC?
Well,
and I wanted to be like, you mean like Sam?
I think you're a slightly bigger hack than Sam, but it's a very competitive struggle between you two.
That's what I feel like. I've tried harder to be a bigger hack than Sam, but he's talented.
All right, wait. What was the topic upon which you were opining that someone said that?
Okay, well, it's a segue. It's on Al Franken. And because my feelings on Al Franken, and I will say it now, I guess I said I was done with this whole thing, but why not just say it one last time just to make that many more enemies, is there's a couple things going on here. One, we have people that are serious sexual predators in our society. We've had them at places far and wide, from Penn State to the Catholic Church for God knows how long. It tends to survive under authoritarian control, lack of transparency. you know, and whenever you get these kinds of situations, and there have been so many victims over so long. And that, to me, whether it's child predators, whether it's rapists, whether it's serial sexual harassers, that is disgusting. And it's not, it's beyond just like you should lose your job. You should be in prison, and in some cases for the rest of your life, depending upon what we're talking about. To me, that is an entirely separate category than you, then, oh, I may have, you know, during a photo, I might have pinched your butt once. And yeah, was that wrong? Was that inappropriate? Sure. Is it serial sexual predator behavior? No, I don't think it is. Is it, you know, you're about my age, Sam, and 20 years ago, 10 years ago, there were times where it was very acceptable to say certain things. It's no longer acceptable to say. You know, and I bet if you go far enough back and you talk to people, you'd find me saying something stupid when I was in my 20s, like, oh, my God, I hate that. That's so gay, or something right. like that. And you could destroy my life over it if you want, you know. And so if we had Twitter back then, there'd probably be all sorts of things with me saying stupid stuff like that, you know. And so my feeling is that what Al Franken did, first of all, let's start with, I had a real problem with how that whole thing began and still do. Somehow, a woman who's accusing him, you know, it's not about how she dresses or anything. I don't care about any of that. It's the context of those USO tours. And she's up on stage doing things to men, which seems that it's quite clear that she was comfortable with engaging in that kind of behavior. Then there's the connection to Sean Hannity, and there's the fact that Roger Stone knew 6 months ahead of time. Now, we've seen what Cernovich just tried to do to you. We've seen what O'Keefe just tried to do with the Washington Post. This is what these scumbags do constantly. 99% of women don't lie, I'm sure of it, but that 1% belongs to the right. And if we don't think they're going to weaponize it as they try to have a woman claim that Roy Moore victimized her and raped her just so then they could prove it was a hoax and screw the Washington Post and undermine every other woman that did it, we're crazy if we don't think they're going to try that again and again. And you look at O'Keefe's record and look at how the wife of the serial sexual harasser who sits on the Supreme Court just gave him an award to celebrate that behavior. So again, the original accuser against Franken, I don't take anything she said seriously. The second one who came along is Melanie Morgan, a former right-wing radio host. I don't take anything she said seriously. So what you've got left is a bunch of women where it's sort of, yes, he touched my butt while we were taking pictures. He did things that were inappropriate. And I need to know the context of those situations, because I don't just believe that somebody can say, somebody did this, and then it's a done deal. I want to know what it was. Was it something that made you feel uncomfortable? Was it something that was terrible? There's differences in all these things, right? And so my whole view is of somebody who was a comedian that maybe did a couple of inappropriate things. Maybe did a couple of things that were beyond inappropriate. But I would have liked to know from that investigation in the Senate or something of that nature. I did not feel like with him it's anything close to the level of a predator, somebody who somebody who has preyed on children or women in a way that is beyond the bounds of like really that you should be a free person in society. And there you go. That's my feelings on the whole thing.
I don't think that is. I don't think that your opinion on that is outside the realm of a rational opinion. I mean, I think, we were talking about this earlier. I mean, even if you stipulate, I mean, the forced kissing is of a different type than the yes. groping during the pictures. Which isn't to say that any of this is acceptable, but there is a difference. And there is a difference between those one or two, to be honest with the last ones that came out, I wasn't keyed in on.
The forced kissing is more serious to me. And if I, you know, if we had an investigation and we can, that can be proven to me that is something, not proven, but just, so it seems like there's a pattern of that.
Right.
And it wasn't like one woman has said that. And the other woman who said it is Leanne Tweeden, who I don't believe, frankly. If that can be proven as a pattern, yes. Because to me, that is aggressive. That is harassing. And then I would say, absolutely. I think a picture, you can put your arm around somebody and your hand can end up on their butt or their whatever. There would be,
and maybe it exists, But I do think that there is obviously a continuum here, right? Where you go from groping and you could even start that before that. It's sort of just misogynistic attitude that is that you articulate publicly or, you know, I guess privately, but I'm not even talking at the workplace, because I think as you move into the context, is it at the workplace? What is the power dynamic at that moment? Yes, when you take a picture with a senator, I guess there's a power dynamic there on some level. But, you know, in any context, when you're taking a picture with somebody, like, you know, you don't need a power dynamic for something like that to happen. And, you know, theoretically, I guess it's less likely.
So that's the thing, right?
Like,
I
don't think if Al Franken is not a senator and he's taking a picture with a senator and he grabs her butt, I think that she would feel quite comfortable going like, I don't know what's wrong with you, buddy, but you try that again and you're going to end up, I'm going to have the Capitol Police come after you or something like that. Whereas that same woman, if she's not a senator and he is, might be like, I'm not going to get involved in this guy's a senator. I mean, so there's that dynamic. There's also leveraging this power dynamic. And then you start getting into like the Matt Lauer situation. Although his is like much more violent and aggressive even than that.
I mean, to me, that's the stuff as somebody who, you know, cares a lot about the women in my life and women not in my life. That's the kind of stuff where I'm like, Jesus, I mean, he's a predator. I mean, Matt Lauer should be in prison. Kevin Spacey is a predator. You know, Harvey Weinstein is a predator. And again, some people start.
Well, they should be in prison. They should be in prison. You said
they should be in prison.
Here's the thing.
Forget losing their jobs.
Here's the thing.
They should be in prison.
With that said, I also think that, like, I don't want my daughter or, frankly, any woman, but I mean, obviously, like, we're invested in the people who are closest to, you know, but I don't want, I you know, the idea that women have to go through life with, like, oh, I got to be careful of anybody with arms. You know what I mean? Like, the idea that, like, this is a constant drag, like, hey, you know, we're not going to do anything that could, you know, that could really endanger you. But here's a 10-pound weight. Put this in your back pocket and just walk around. Like, the idea that we're having, you know, that we've got to tell 50% of the population, or we don't even tell them because a certain percentage of us aren't even aware that they've got to have this secret weight that they've got to carry around in their back pocket, which is just like, yeah, when I go into a situation where there's men, you know, 1 out of 10 or 7 out of 10, I don't know, are going to pinch my ass.
Yep.
You know, that's a systemic problem,
these are things we need to have a conversation about.
But you know what? Like, I mean, here's the thing, and here's the counter argument, because I tend to think that, like, for me, the reason why Al had to go was less on moral grounds and more on political grounds at this point, because it is in that nebulous area. Okay, so that's why I don't find your position on this to be particularly marginal. I think we're in an arguable realm there, particularly because there's been no, you know, the guy. I don't know if he stopped 8 years ago. I don't know if he said, like, oh my God, I'm a senator now. You know, if you realize that a year into being a senator, I'm a senator now. I got to grow up. Like, this seventh grade mentality.
Well, see, isn't that the other thing? And you can bring context to this, Sam, in a way that I think not everybody can. You were a professional comedian. You were in these comedy clubs. You were in, you know, like, on these sort of sets of TV shows that are either they're sort of funny and have a sexual element to them, Sex in the City, stuff like that. So you tell me. I've just been a goofball my entire life. I haven't been a comedian. And I can tell you for a fact now, there are times when, you know, friends of mine, and I remember Arianna Huffington came forward and said this when the right tried to turn this into a Franken was groping her thing, where friends of mine, like, we just joked around with each other and some woman would pinch my butt and I'd pinch hers. Now, was it necessarily, you know, what kind of behavior was it? I don't know. Were there times where somebody probably did that to me where I didn't necessarily want them to? Sure. And you know what? I might have done something and stepped over the line a few times. I just think that making a sort of judgment call that is wrong, thinking you're joking with somebody, maybe they're not thinking the same way. We all make mistakes in judgment like that. That's different than pushing a button underneath your desk and having a door lock.
I understand. I understand what you're saying. And I think that, like, that's why the picture for me, not appropriate, but the picture for me never was operative. It just because you could see it was more problematic. And look, I know there is a male comedian who when I've heard multiple stories when he is doing a scene with you, if there's an opportunity, he will punch you in your nuts right before, right as it starts.
You can't say that and not tell us who it is.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm not going to because it's all secondhand, but...
How long has Seinfeld been doing that for?
He is the guest that will be following you today.
Cliff,
his name is Andy Kindler.
Kindler?
Kindler.
But it was clearly like a dominance thing and a power thing. And, right. But I don't want to get off track here. When it comes to Frank, and I think it would be, we're going to need at one point some type of like scale of like where we can place these offenses.
That's right.
But politically, he clearly became a liability. And
I can accept that too.
And I will also say this. It's not enough to have a conversation. Like, the best way to have a conversation is, hey, man, if you don't want everything that you have to go away, stop. Like, you know, he's only pinching one, you know, his interaction with these women is like, I just pinched them once. But they're going through life with this idea of like, if that guy is doing that to me, if Al Franken's doing that to me, like, what is their worldview? How much does it affect their worldview? How much does it affect their decisions on any given day? I mean, you know, it was the functional equivalent.
No, and if to them demeaning, right? I just want to say quickly, to them, if this is a demeaning experience, and I can certainly see if it's one of numerous of those experiences, and I know, again, have enough women in my life to know how often these kinds of things happen, I can get it in that context, too. Just Al Franken is another one of these people that took advantage because he could. You know, and it wasn't a joke. There was the context, in fact, is bad. It was supposed to be a professional type picture, and he did it. So I get that too, and I guess that's why I wanted the investigation and I wanted to know more. You know what I mean?
Right.
I just
here's the thing. It's not just that it's demeaning. To you or I, if that happened, it would be demeaning because it would be an aberration. Like it would be like a blip. And we had this moment of being demeaning. But the problem is that, particularly when you have a guy like Al Franken do it, it doesn't become demeaning. It becomes the structure. It becomes the reality and the baseline. I mean, I've told the story many times back when I was doing that sitcom called The Show, and I was hanging out with a bunch of black comedians and actors during the weeks leading up to that show. And I went home for lunch with one of these actors, and we pulled into his parking garage. Everybody's got a parking garage in Hollywood and in that areas. And not a particularly fancy building. We pull in, and as the gate opens up to go in, because they're all like, they have all got like garage doors type of things, his buddy pulls in behind us, and he's driving a Range Rover, which was the car of choice of everybody who had any cash at that time. This is 20 years ago. And the dude pulls in. He's like, oh, thank God you were here. I was getting followed again by a cop. And I was like, what'd you do? And he goes, no, I didn't do anything. He said, over the past 3 weeks, I've been pulled over four times. Maybe it was three times. I can't remember I've been pulled over three times, and I actually called the LA Police Department. And I said, is there some type of sticker I can get that says this is my car? And the cop said, are you black? And he said, yes. And he said, like this, I'm sorry, there's nothing I can do. And so, I mean, just imagine the idea of like every time I get into my car, which, you know, it's not for me necessarily, but for many people, are like, you know, this is, I'm proud about it. I, you know, wherever I came from or whatever I'm doing, I can afford this car and I can drive down. And every time I get in that, there's also like, oh, it's also a liability because it means that, you know, cops have a license to come pull
you're,
me over because so I'm
right
blacking it.
And we don't ever get that. I get, we don't get that.
We don't get that. I mean, if that happened to us once, like, Mr. Schechter, where did you get this car? You'd be like, wow, that was really uncomfortable.
No, that was weird. Having to have conversations with kids that we don't have to have with our kids is terrible. And I get the same thing when we're talking about women and harassment.
Yeah, I think this is a similar dynamic. The idea that, like, I can't take a picture with my liberal hero without getting my ass pinched. Like, what does that mean in terms of, like, what I'm going to have to deal with the rest of my life? And it's not just, like, that one moment. It's like, he did it, and the freaking, you know, that time I worked at that restaurant, like, it was, like, my ass was an open, you know, was the back of a barn. I mean, this fundamentally shifts your worldview for a lot of people, a lot of women. And I think, like, if the price is that we get it just a little bit too wrong in terms of certain individuals, like, look, Al Franken could have stayed. He could have stayed. He made a decision because it was a political decision. Now, I think there is a problem where, you know, where I think you get into a problem where you start actually punishing people in some type of institutional way without any type of due process. But in a political scenario like this, where he could have stayed in there,
right?
But he had to leave because his political power was diminished.
Well, and he also respects it enough that when enough people are calling for him to leave, it's not the same as when people are calling for Donald Trump to get out of a race or people are calling for Roy Moore to get out of a race. They don't care because they're who they are. In a way, I just also, you know, I thought the apologies, Franken handled it well. And this isn't about Franken, again, you know, I've been a fan of Franken's, but this isn't about that. It's a bigger thing to me, which is there's two aspects of it. One is finding where we're going to draw certain lines and where we're going to at least not conflate, you know, what it would be harassing behavior of a sort, inappropriate behavior, but in context inappropriate, because again, people have the right, I mean, men and women have the right to pinch each other's butts if they want to. We have to make sure of the context of that situation. That's why I don't trust the Tweeden thing as much. You know, that separating that from actual predators who are dangerous people, that's the first thing, and not conflating those. And the second thing, I guess, you know, on this is, again, you know, the fact that and this isn't specific to Franken, I'm making this a broader thing, but the fact that Roger Stone knew the first one was coming, and the fact that Sean Hannity knew, and you add that to what Cernovich just tried to do with you and almost was successful in doing, and you add that to what O'Keefe just tried to do with the Washington Post reporting and other stuff. If you don't believe now that they're going to do this and they're going to grab these kinds of things and try to find somebody from 20 years ago whose political opinions have changed and maybe doesn't like you anymore or whatever, and maybe you were doing something that was completely playful then, but now they're going to get them to say you were harassing them. They're going to weaponize this. They already are.
Look, I agree. I mean, Stone, I'm quite convinced Stone was the one who took out Spitzer. He claims he was, and I'm quite good. But it's not like Spitzer wasn't doing anything wrong.
Well, like what Spitzer was doing was horrible. Yeah,
both
again,
can be true.
But were you doing something wrong?
In that instance, no. And I think
you put something out there that was in the tradition of satire is necessary in our politics and comes to point out the absurdity of certain things. And you almost lost a job because of it.
I did lose a job.
Well, you did temporarily.
But I got it back because it was a case that it wasn't because it was so clearly a false charge. I mean, that's my point. On some level.
But also because you're popular and people supported you and Ryan Grimm put up that.
Well, Al Franken's pretty popular.
Franken is. That's why I'm saying this is broader than Franken. What if it's somebody that's not as popular? I guess or is not as well known as you or Al Franken. Well, I guess what I'm saying is we need to make sure and we need to sort of remind people on the left who feel strongly about these issues that we all feel strongly about this. We're all disgusted by sexual predators. At the same time, it doesn't mean that we can't, you know, keep our eyes open going forward and realize we're dealing with people who are in incredibly bad faith on the other side that are now going to try to use these things to destroy people. And so that before you jump to an immediate conclusion, please pay attention to the context of the situation is all I'm saying.
But I guess what I'm saying is, show me an example of where, because like, look,
Shirley Sherrod, there's an example.
No,
Acorn. There's an example.
I totally agree with that. I'm talking about though in the context of these. If you're giving a warning for the future that like, look, these people are out there. Yes, but that's a separate issue, right? I mean, it's quite possible that Franken did those things to that woman on the USO tour, and she wasn't actually. It wasn't a big deal for her, but she realized like, this is a moment where I can hold him to account. But had she been the only one, and I don't think people dismissed Melanie Morgan's very quickly because she was just complaining that he was an obnoxious guy. None of it had to do. He kept calling me because I have right wing reactionary responses to things, and he kept, trying to argue with me. That nobody took her seriously. It was the other five or six charges that came out after that started to show a pattern. And yes, maybe it should have gone to the ethics committee. But if Franken could have held out, it's not like he was forced out of the Senate. It was like he got shamed out of the Senate. And there is something to be said.
And I'll say quickly, Conyers was quite clear. And I want to make this also clear, because a few of these people like this, when I was talking about on Twitter with me and Michael sitting stuff, was trying to turn it into, you're just a shill of the establishment. You'd say whatever the Democratic Party said. You know, Conyers immediately was quite clear, and I wanted him gone. Obviously, Harvey Weinstein was a big Democratic supporter. It has nothing to do with party here. Whereas I actually, believe it or not, provide a little more leniency for somebody who is very much not a Democrat, George H.W. Bush, because I think he's in his 90s, and I'm not fully sure he knows exactly what he's doing,
I think he had a little bit of a history of that behavior. But I understand what you're saying.
Well, he may, and that may be it. And I'm not condoning the behavior. I'm just saying, so, you know, throw the party of it out. We need to sort of be clear on, you know, and let me say one last thing. I think we've made clear where we are in this. Yep. I think we're not so far apart. The last thing that I'm wondering about is why is, you know, on this, was it a CBS morning interview or whatever, is Kirsten Gillibrand or others like, you know, who called for Franken to leave. And also she more recently said Bill Clinton should have resigned. And there's a pretty damn strong argument there too. But why are they now refusing to say the same thing about Donald Trump? I just don't even understand it. Why do we not have every single one of these people who called on Franken to resign? Why are they not? Are they not holding press conferences? Why are we not doing that for somebody who is actually a predator? I don't get it. She danced around it and wouldn't call on the guy to resign. And I don't really get it.
I think she should.
Are there Democrats saying that Donald Trump shouldn't resign? I don't think so.
I think Cliff, though, is right. I don't think anybody has specifically said, people have specifically said, like Gillibrand, that Franken should go. I don't think she hasn't specifically called on Donald Trump to resign. No.
No, they danced around. She
people
was
have said Dwight Moore should drop out, but not that Trump should resign. I disagree with that entirely.
The only reason I'm not justifying it. I'm doing some analysis here. The only reason why I could even imagine why they wouldn't do it, because I don't think the answer is Gillibrand secretly supports Donald
Trump. Go and brush
Donald
your shoulder off there, Sam. I like that.
What's that?
I'm just going to do some analysis here.
Well, no, I mean the point being is I don't know that I agree with this position, but I'm trying to get into their head because I don't think the answer is Gillibrand's a secret Trump supporter.
No, I think the answer is
they believe that there is going to be there's going to be criminal findings about Donald Trump that are imminent. And they don't want to help the Republican effort, which is already ongoing. We talked about at the beginning of the show about, attacking the FBI's process being corrupt. They don't want to be seen when they come out and say, I vote to impeach Donald Trump, or impeachment hearings need to start now because of if they call it collusion, or it turns out that he has like the Deutsche Bank record show. That,
I think you're completely right, but just
I would imagine that's what it
is. I think you're totally right.
They want to be seen as honest brokers in that process.
But may I just add, if we are in the process now, for better and for worse, and I think definitely mostly for better, obviously, where people are losing positions because of, and let's just, you know, set aside even Franken and talk about clear acts of harassment, assault, rape, and abuse. Everybody should be rereading and releasing as a press release the account of Donald Trump's ex-wife. And that should have been the first standard of why this is a totally unacceptable person. And that could be its own independent renewal of a calls for the man to resign, in my view.
I think there is something to be said about, in the same way, I mean, look, we just saw this dynamic with what putting the capital in Jerusalem means. I mean, like, you know, there's no tangible difference. Maybe there might be, but
there's an uprising in the Intifada. I mean, that is tangible.
There's no tangible difference.
Not in U.S. foreign policy.
In U.S. foreign policy.
Symbolically.
Specifically. However. And there's no tangible difference in terms of the practical day-to-day operations. It is a perception that makes the difference here. The U.S. cannot be, it's on one hand, it is being offensive because it's to Palestinians who feel they have a claim on Jerusalem as well. And it also indicates that we're not going to be an honest broker in this instance. From a Gillibrand's perspective, if they're anticipating playing a big role in making the argument that Donald Trump has done something illicit, they're not going to want to have, as he's sitting president, somebody say like, well, here, 6 months ago, you were calling for this guy to, oh, you just have, you have Trump derangement syndrome. You just want him to go. Because I think also Kristen Gillibrand goes, must be saying to herself, or her advisors are saying to her, the conversation is, will it make one iota of a difference if I say this? I mean, I said it prior to he got elected. Will it make one iota of a difference? And they'll say, no, but it will give fodder for Fox for a couple of days.
If you don't have
that, the issue as opposed to his,
you're out of your mind.
That's the art that, I mean, people can assess whether or not they think that is a worthwhile trade-off, but I would bet a lot of, you know, Mike Cernovich's alimony money that's the question that they have when they don't do that. That's my guess.
But let's get that story back out recirculating.
Let's do that. And by the way, when it comes to Cernovich, let's also, you know, because you probably talked about it a decent amount on this show, but let's also explain it clearly. It's that first wife accusing him of assault, wasn't? Or I guess
it was not his first wife. I believe it was a story from college. It was not his first wife.
Yes.
Pled guilty, I believe.
Specific. He was charged with. This is important to get it right. Even though Mike Cernovich is a well-known public figure, I still am even going to hold myself to a standard of total fairness.
You should.
What we know.
I'm trying to get
and
right, so I'm glad you're
based upon
in.
Reporting from the New Yorker, he was charged with rape, but he pled to a misdemeanor battery charge. And you know, and the guy was, he ultimately became a criminal defense lawyer. I don't know if he was at the time, but he clearly was savvy about how to work that system.
Doesn't this almost seem like something out of a script? I mean, it's like it's such a straight line from like. You know, he thinks he gets angry because he gets, you know, charged with this, or whatever. So he's going to defend all the other innocent men like him, and he's going to go after all those women who clearly are all liars. And you know,
well, projection is a very strange thing. We see it all the time.
And in his case, it seems to be 100% of his personality is projection.
Yeah, there was a little bit of that, like with like Larry Craig and stuff like that. Often, their
projection,
the self-loathing. Sort of they put outward, and so in some way, like if you, that's the way it works.
That appeals to my socialist empathy. It's evoked when I hear that. I just see a real therapist. See a real therapist, as we said yesterday, not a guerrilla mindset therapist, a real therapist, or a bonobo therapist.
Cliff.
Michael, I'm not saying that Cernovich has trouble getting it up. That's not what I'm saying.
Okay, listen. listen to me. I want to just pivot quickly because there's reports now that I can't remember the two news organizations. I can't remember for the life of me. But there are reports that there's a big story that is about to drop in any number of days, that there are up to 40 members of Congress who have sexual harassment type accusations against them. And I don't know the range on that spectrum that we were talking about. And
they include
already,
the two that we found out? I mean, or we don't know.
Maybe we don't know.
Because we already have Blake, what's his name, the guy who likes to go in his pajamas with women, the one from Texas.
Yeah.
And then we've got Trent Franks, who thinks that women should surrogate his babies for him and thought that wasn't inappropriate. He's resigning already.
That is a very strange scenario. Apparently,
well, he is
asking
a weird,
people
weird,
in his office if they
dude.
Would be a surrogate because maybe his wife was not incapable of carrying a child. And I don't know the details of that. Very
dude.
Odd. I mean, that's
I think we're just going to find out that was his pickup line. And I mean, this guy, he's been off his rocker for, I mean, he's the one who always compares abortion to slavery. Is a big favorite of his.
Nevertheless,
so
we don't know.
He's a lunatic.
We don't know the party affiliations of these people. We also don't know. Like,
there'll
be
some Democrats in there, I'm sure.
Here's the thing. There is also, and people should be aware of this, there is for a congressman to deal with these type of charges, it's much harder than a senator to deal with these type of charges. It's much harder than a president to deal with these type of charges. Like, the further out you are removed from your constituency, the easier it is for you to ride it out. So as much as Republicans don't hold their elected officials and leaders to any type of real standards, unless, you know, it's like strictly a political calculation, it's going to be tough for these congresspeople to hold out because they're, you know, the argument's going to be very localized. And it's not going to be able to be nationalized in the way like Roy Moore's has even been nationalized on some level. And, you know, Roy Moore has the advantage of there's deep-seated racism in that state. And we're going to lean on that heavily to win here. But
Well, and also there's deep-seated sort of, you know, it fits the demographically. I mean, I don't know how else to put this. You know, there's a lot of uneducated white men there. And there's a lot more of the types of charges that Donald Trump makes about not being able to trust the mainstream media. They're all just out to get us. That holds a lot more sway, sadly, in a state like Alabama than it will in a lot of these congressional districts that might have, you know, somewhat of a different demographic makeup.
If it's 2020, I mean, you know, part of it could be there's probably going to be more Democrats just because I would think that there's probably more women working in Democratic lawmakers' offices than in Republican offices. I mean, that's just my guess. You know, they have this rule where you don't go out to dinner with someone who's not your wife, that type of stuff. Like, we wouldn't want any temptresses.
I'm not looking like such an idiot, am I?
We don't want any temptresses in our office showing their elbows.
Yeah, but
and their
the
knees.
Women don't tempt me, to be honest. So they're disgusting. This is Mike Pence here.
But if it's even remotely close to 2020, then on a 40 person breakdown, this is going to have real implications, I think, in terms of 2018. I mean, if it's 40 Democrats or 35 Democrats, that's going to be.
It really will depend who some of these people are. I think it also depend on how they handle it. My guess is a couple. I mean, look, Trent Franks. He's in a plus 21 district, Republican district, and he's choosing to leave over it.
Yep.
Some of them are just going to say, hey, I've had enough for whatever reason, or maybe they actually will show a modicum of good taste, although that's hard to believe, and they will leave.
And they all think they're going to be in the minority. I think the Republican House members are starting to think, like, I'm going to be in the minority. Do I really want to go through this blistering thing with all these accusations
that's
against me? Do I want to go through that just to end up being a backbencher in a party that doesn't even have the perks of being in the majority? Screw it.
Right.
And you may
so there's some of that's going to be part of this too. My guess is most of the Democrats, because very few Democrats come from the kind of district that has a profile that's similar to Alabama, and then there's the party itself cutting them off or whatever. I think that most of the Democrats who are guilty, no matter whether it's 5, 10, or all, you know, 20 of them or 40 or whatever, will probably have to resign. Whereas the Republicans, my guess is some will and some won't, depending upon the situation. I mean, Blake Farenthold or whatever his name is busy running away from reporters right now, hiding out in the Capitol, you know, because a couple of them have heard they're asking questions and he just won't answer them and runs away. You'll probably have a couple really, you know, profile and courage types like that. And again, you know, this shouldn't be a Democratic or Republican thing, but it is. The Democratic Party itself is not, is saying no tolerance in this, and the Republican Party has started funding Roy Moore again.
Right.
So I don't believe they're going to be able to force somebody like that to leave. They're not going to even try. Really going to be up to these individual members on the Republican side.
Right, but it's also going to be their constituents. You know, I don't think there's going to be...
Well, like, sure. Depending upon I think your that's district going
to, the local newspaper is going to say, hey, this guy's a creep. We want him out. And right. It's not the same
somebody
dynamic.
Has to do with, right. Who, right, your local district, who's there, what the media situation is. As you said, it's going to, it's also going to have to do with various other bigger trends. Are the Democrats going to take control? Is it worth it to you? I mean, all that stuff will come into play. And I guess is... A lot will leave, and probably a few will fight it out and stay.
Cliff Schechter, you and I will
not fight
it out. I guess
we're talking about other stuff like Donald Trump and
I know. We didn't get time.
Junior and his nice little
totally boss. Missed me, bro. Franken plan's working, man.
Well, you guys, after this, can take that whole thing on and talk about that very cool connection that Mr. Trump Jr. had to WikiLeaks, apparently.
Indeed. All right, well, Cliffy, we'll talk to you later. Thanks, buddy. Yeah. And thanks for your support during this whole thing. I really do appreciate it.
I know my pleasure, man. I'm glad that worked out in the end. One less injustice in the world.
Indeed.
Sam, may I just say really briefly, I do think that Franken, and definitely if it was a Republican governor, should not have resigned, and it should have gone through a full investigation process, but it was probably the right political decision. That said, I think a Franken impression is forming, and okay. The audience should be ready.
There we go.
Yeah,
be ready, people.
That's right, most Cliff. Important out of any of this stuff is the impression. Yes, indeed.
All right, Cliff.
Take it easy, guys.
Bye bye. All right, folks. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, do we got a Jimmy Reefer Cake song?
Sammy.
What is it?
It's called Sammy.
It's called Sammy. You got to talk into the mic. What happened to you, Matt?
Sorry, it's called Sammy.
You fired from MSNBC for 2 days, and all of a sudden you're just like, I don't even need to turn on the mic when I talk.
That's how much we're winning.
Yeah,
I don't
exactly.
even talk to mics anymore.
We just do the show, incidentally. We just do the show for Cernovich right now.
It's like, a special live stream.
We just have a call into his cell phone. We just do the whole show in the cell phone for him.
Welcome back. This is for Mike Cernovich, as well as his much more successful ex-wife. He lied. The exclusive feed of the Majority Report.
All right, so this is called Sammy.
Sammy. Yesterday you got fired from MSNBC. Sammy. Let me say what that means to me. Now the dark days are done and the bright days are near. Our Sammy Cedar shines so sincere. Sammy, once so true, we love you.
Oh, very sweet.
Sammy, thank you for the great show every day. Sammy. Thank you for the love you brought my way. You gave me the chance to sing my songs, and now I feel 10 feet tall. Sammy, once so true, I love you. Sammy, thank you for the truth you let me see. Sammy, thank you for the facts from A to Z. You got fired from MSNBC. That sounds like a badge of honor to me. Sammy, once so true, I love you.
Wow, that is
very sweet.
That is honestly
very sweet.
I mean, that you know, I was saying the other day, it felt like I was watching my own funeral. There was almost like there was like a quality of that.
Would you like for me to perform at the funeral?
I mean, let me reserve judgment on that. I mean, I just I'm not sure. I'm not sure if my parents would get it. But that was beautiful. Thank you, Jimmy. That was very, very kind.
Like, why is he talking about marijuana? That's son's funeral.
I'm not. Allhypocrisy.com? What's going on?
Other people are hypocrites because they didn't die, but he died, and the pot isn't legal? I don't get this.
Sweetheart, who's Jimmy Dore?
Sammy should have been nice to some other schmuck on YouTube who isn't dead, but he's not a hypocrite, but Sammy was, but he loves him. I don't understand.
And tell me something. Do you know anything about the Goodmans? Is this the Worcester Goodmans?
Tim Black, it was on his Twitter bio. Even we know that, and we're on AOL dial-up.
Let's go to a break, and we will call Andy Kindler. We are back, ladies and gentlemen. It is the Majority Report. And, you know, whenever we're super, super lucky, Friday turns in not just into a Friday, but it turns into, you know, you hear the phrase TGIF? Well, I got another phrase for you. TGIAF. Thank God it's Andy Friday.
With a Jew like Andy Kindler, you know you can't go wrong. His ancestors wrote the God the Bless America song.
American anti-Semitic.
Obama bought, and he believes Obama,
Obama can never do wrong.
Andy Kindler.com. You made me laugh so hard, I had to write you a theme song.
You know, I have to say, when
it makes me cry every time.
When Jimmy writes those like odes to people, it's, you know, when he's in that mode of Jimmy Reefer Cake, it's the most of the most sublime. That's really his
dripping
forte.
With sexual tension.
Of course.
Jews.
Irving Berlin.
Just try and talk me down.
Your ancestors. Are you related to Irving Berlin?
Did you not know? I'm related to Abraham, not so much to Isaac. Jacob I never saw. But Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But I just referenced three names from the Bible. That's all I get?
It was good. It was all right. Mm. Andy, now
I rooted for Goliath.
Let me thank you publicly. I just did it before we got on the phone, but I want to thank you publicly. Well, first off, I will say this: like the whole sort of swarm that took place online for a lot of people, I just became a vehicle for issues that were already out there. But for people like you and for people like in this audience, and, you know, there was a couple of people who I'm almost hesitant to say their names. She knows who one of them is, because I don't want the little flying monkeys to go after her or him, but her, and who you know, basically created online resources that could be tweeted out by other people so that the story got out there as to who was doing the smearing. And that first line of like the wave that this sort of created, this massive wave online, was people who, like you, who have been on the show or people who listen to the show. And I have so much gratitude to you and those folks. You know, I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to articulate it, but thank you.
Well, thank you. I mean, it's like the most so emotional. I mean, I've never been angry at cable news before, so this was a whole new. And I have to say, Sam, I'm still boycotting Dylan Radican, which someone told me is not necessarily mean much.
Dylan Radican's been off the air for about 4 or 5 years.
Oh, okay. So it worked. My boycott worked. But let me tell you something. Two things I want to say, Sam.
Yeah.
Because I didn't realize what was going to happen. Can I have my goddamn $100 back? I mean, talk about a guy who stepped up too hard to the plate. You know what I'm saying?
You're not the only person to ask me that. I've heard.
I mean, is it tax deduct? Is it a 501c at least?
No.
I thought I was such a big deal. And because I'm Jewish, I go, yeah, I'll go on and give $50. And I start looking at the other the contributors, and I can't have the Jew lowballing.
Well,
that can't happen.
You didn't have to fill your name in on the GoFundMe with the parentheticals. That was not necessary.
Not only that, I filled in
Globe
my name
emoji.
Andrew, as it appears on my credit card.
Globe emoji.
I say, I have never seen anybody.
Oh, listen, I want to thank Goldman Sachs for all the... No,
I like Gary Cohn. I don't know why people don't like him. He seemed to get along so well with Mike Flynn on that walk outside. I like Gary Cohn. No. I like a 6'9" Jew who's closed off to all his feelings.
Is he 6'9"?
He's not that tall, is he?
He's pretty goddamn tall, that Gary Cohn.
Yeah. Did you see the cartoon of Mnuchin? And I forget, I think it was Eli Valley. It was like... Cohn and Mnuchin are in like striped uniforms in the next Holocaust, and they're like, "But we got the tax cut."
It's so, you know, they couldn't deal with that carried interest because that would be so controversial, right, guys? Come on, they tried.
There's such large contingencies wanting to make sure that hedge funders only pay a capital gains rate on on income that they make for making a deal.
We wish we could keep that tax in for the 50 families, but we can't. Our back's up to the wall.
You really
want to estate tax?
Here's the thing: if you don't incentivize hedge funders with a lower tax rate, people probably won't go into the hedge fund business, and then where would we be?
How many? I have 3 pass-throughs. Already, so I'm ready for this.
Have a pass through, don't you?
Yes, I do. It's,
I do too. And anybody
insert a heart disease joke.
But no, you have an S corp, don't you?
No, my brother, who's also Jewish, was an investment banker, and years ago, Sam, he told me it's a scam. This incorporation is a scam. He says unless you make $500,000 a year, every year. And I said to my brother, after laughing, well, we know that's not going to happen.
Is that right? Because when I, like at one point I got, you know, this was years and years ago when I started doing sitcom work. That's probably why they did it. Nobody ever told me.
It wasn't, I can't
argue. I thought
argue.
It was because if you
it's
work
a
for
scam,
a bunch of different
scam,
people.
Like illegal, but I mean, it just was a way for business managers to make money.
Oh, my God. Really?
Well, did you ever make less than $500,000 a year?
Let me see if there was a year. You can go back to my records. Hold on to see. Well, probably there was probably one or two in there over the years. Well, I think they thought there was. I think there was a sense that like this guy's going to be huge in sitcoms, and then I would. Then I would do things that they would say, like, what are you doing? And I go, well, that's not necessarily what I want to do. And then I got fired by them. I literally got let go by my accountant.
Your S Corp let you go?
No, not my own company.
Oh, the accountant.
The accountant who had set it up because they wanted to be my business manager. And at the time I was like, I'm not going to pay you 5% of what I make to pay my bills. That's absurd. Did you ever run into that situation?
I know, because I had a lawyer many, many years ago, and I used to have this joke. If your lawyer says during negotiations, hey, look, I'm no legal expert, that's not a good thing, right? He said to me at the first meeting, this guy years ago, he goes, I'd like to have, you have any questions? I said, what's this 5% of all of my income thing? He goes, doesn't sound that fair, right? That's what he goes. Doesn't sound that fair, does it? That was our first negotiation where I talked him out of 5% of everything.
Well, I would be a little bit nervous about having that guy represent you in the future.
He goes, yeah, we take 5% of everything. That doesn't sound. It doesn't sound fair. It really doesn't sound fair. Maybe we'll we'll redline that out right now. I'm telling you though, Sam.
Well, that's what Who's the Caboose in pilot season was all. That was all about that. All about that stuff.
And Stacey Papadopoulos. You know about the Stacey? I called up. I'm not saying I'm personal friends with Sarah Silverman, but I texted her when the Papadopoulos guy came out because on your sitcom we used to sing Stacey Papadopoulos.
No,
Papadopoulos.
Papadouski.
Oh, okay, close. Very close.
By the way, I thought Sarah Silverman's tweet was, speaking of Jew, her formulation was so Jewish.
What was that?
MSNBC, the pizza guy, this is who you get your morality from? It was so like...
Enough already.
It was
enough
like,
already.
Oh, this is who defines your morality. The blue pill, brain damage, rape apology guy. This is who you learn your Torah
from?
What
kind of mishigas is this?
I also love the idea, like, every time they're going to do it, they're going to show this brilliant satirical... Oh, you're going to do that? Cernovich is going to show this brilliant satirical tweet by Sam Cedar just to screw him up. That's the thing that I thought was so funny about it. There's nothing like you... This nothing in the world you could say wrong about the tweet, except it was brilliantly sarcastic. And then they keep, what about this, Sam? Why don't people take my jokes and say, what about this joke from the 90s, Andy?
Well, no, I liked it, though, because he also said everybody. So it's like every couple of months we can re-review anti-rape satire, as well as my literal apologies for it.
Right, exactly.
Okay, sure.
Of course, now, Sam, I actually believe that you should be able to delete. I delete every unpleasant, when I start yelling at a robot, I delete that.
Well, that was the thing, is that when I first saw it, I was like, I'm just going to delete it. I don't care. It's not like my tweets are going to be in a glass case in the Smithsonian, and we're going to walk by, like, oh, that was the one that Cedar did. And no, and so I just would delete.
Maybe now it will be.
But that one, I wish, like, I'd like to contact Twitter, like, get it back. I want to pin it.
Can I restore it and get it laminated?
Exactly.
Is there a way to 3D print a tweet?
Really should, actually.
I think some of my jokes should be behind glass in a museum, and they shouldn't be laughed at.
What would be a good example?
I don't have that sound effect.
What is that? It's 1985, and there's a comic doing a McNugget impression. Oh, this is your pilot. If you look out the left side of the plane, it's 1985, and someone's doing a McNuggets joke.
Andy, what have you been doing besides, like, being the vanguard, spearheading this anti-alt-right brigade?
Well, first of all, I hope nobody ever does a search for me, because I have said I think I've said boycott everything, including my wife, at one point on Twitter. Boycott MSNBC. this week I had to not watch most of the network.
That, you must have felt that. Two things I did. I wanted to note earlier. I think that literally the Majority Report and my show are the only things that I have seen Andy not call for a boycott of on Twitter, literally. And secondly, how has it affected your, like, you know, emotional state that you've had to not watch so much cable, Andy?
Well, the thing, you know what I actually did do, because I said boycott on MSNBC, but nobody cared. But then I kept wanting to tweet things about these idiots on MSNBC. Not all the people on MSNBC. There, many of them are great. But I wanted to tweet something that some pundit said, and then I figured, oh, I can't do that because then people know that I haven't been boycotting. So... I was sneaking MSNBC, but then I would go over and, you know, Wolf has something to say.
You could have put an asterisk there and said just boycott on certain platforms, right? Like unless you're a cord cutter, and if you're watching through YouTube TV, it's okay.
I'm not going to penalize Stitcher for But I couldn't believe it, man. I couldn't believe it was one of those things where. They tried to go after me before. I think I mentioned that on one.
Yeah. What?
They did
what
try to go after me before. What's that?
What? Tell us the story.
Oh, I said I hate white people. I hate them. Whatever the thing was, they smell funny. Whatever I said, I hate white people. And then so for a day, I think it was CERN, they started to come at me. This guy says he hates white people, and then but what can you say? I'm a white person. And I said, I hate myself. We can assume there's some sarcasm involved, and they couldn't get traction with it.
That's very shocking. But what were they going to do? Like, what were they going to prevent you from doing?
This white guy is a racist. No, I think they were going to call me a racist because I hated white people, but because nobody, maybe they have, you know, I'm not a big big mocker, so maybe they thought I wasn't white. Who knows?
How great would it be?
But what were they trying to do? Were they trying to get you fired from somewhere? What were they? I mean, like, what were they?
Hey, Chucklehead.
They were trying to get attacked online. That's the thing. I have never been in a position where I have to worry about getting fired because I've never had a legitimate thing. Right. You know what I'm saying?
It's helpful not to have a job. I went into, on that day. The day
it's helpful to not have a career that ever lived up to its early expectations.
The idea of like never reaching your potential, I think is good, right? You want that.
Yeah, because look how much more I still have to go.
Right, exactly. I went in to do a recording of Bob's Burgers. I think on the day that they, I'm trying to think of
last
what it was.
Friday, last no, Thursday or Friday,
Wednesday,
I think, right?
Wednesday, and I think that, right. That maybe I'd gotten the phone call. Oh, you know that was. I'd gotten a phone call saying I was fired, but they didn't follow up on it. And then I went to go do Bob's Burgers. And, you know, of course, Benjamin was in there and Larry Murphy, who plays Teddy. And they were trying to convince Lauren, who, you know, because Andy is on Bob's Burgers as well. He plays Mort, the politician.
Thank you. Not the politician, the mortician.
Oh, the mortician. Correct. Well, it's been tired.
I love backhanded compliments.
Mort, who's barely on at all. And
that's true.
And, you know, they were basically trying to get Lauren to fire me in that moment. And
kidding me?
Well, of course, they were joking.
Oh, they were joking. No, but I thought maybe Lauren had gotten a call from, from one of their
I'm sorry, if they have to start if they start firing people on comedy shows for racy tweets, I think there's not going to be much going on these comedy shows.
Yeah. I just love that people kept saying it was about rape, it was a rape tweet when
that's
so clearly,
that was also
it's so clearly it's like, I don't know, people don't want to, they want to hate you or whatever, they're going to say whatever it is.
Right, but the idea of like, it was called a rape tweet, and I would be like, well, why would you call it a rape tweet just because the word rape showed up in it? Like, I mean, it's not, there's other words in there. Like it could be a Roman Polanski tweet, which is really probably more accurately what it describes. I mean, it more accurately describes the apologist for Roman Polanski, but I guess it just sells more. It's just more clickbaity. But all right, Andy, let's go through. We got this video. Matt,
okay.
This is Matt. Apparently, has been trolling around. Where are you hanging out online, Matt? That you find these things? Jim Beckwith.
If you search Sam Cedar plus MSNBC and then put the length plus 10 minutes, you get some good stuff.
Oh, so it has to be really long things. And this is Jim Beckwith. Oh, Jim Beckwith's End Time Prophecy News. Covered the story.
Catchy. It's catchy.
And this guy's got a really good hook, like a visual hook, where he is a floating dismembered head in the corner of the clip. Let's hear a little
Max,
bit.
Max Nazi headroom.
Hold on, we gotta get Michael. What is Michael doing? Michael,
Mike.
Go to the bathroom.
Thanks,
in the middle of the show?
He's emailing me. How come I'm
We're
not giving $100
Jim
to his
Beckwith's
show?
End Time Prophecy News. Okay, and here is Michael. He's sitting back down because he's going to want to watch this.
I have returned. Thank
okay,
you.
Watch this.
Good evening, Brother Jim reporting here. Well, Miss NBC has just doubled down on
NBC.
Stupid.
Miss NBC.
Rehired Sam Cedar after being fired
like
for a rape tweet he made in 2009. Miss NBC's president said, sometimes you get one wrong.
He just gave a look. Like
progressive radio and television personality Sam Cedar. Progressive means progressing into abominations of the world.
Ouch!
That's exactly
ouch.
What it means.
Pause it. Now that is true, but do you really want to have to spell that out every time? I mean,
unbelievable.
I do. I'm
going to
use it as a tagline for my new show.
There's a reason why you use IMHO.
Welcome back to the Michael Brooks Show, progressing towards abomination.
Here we go.
His Miss NBC contributor job back and plans to accept, according to multiple Miss NBC sources. Cedar and Miss NBC were set to part ways when his contributor contract expired next year, with reports indicating the departure had to do with 2009 tweet from Cedar surfaced by the far-right provocateur Mike Cernovich.
Provocateur.
After initially
it's a provocateur.
Provocateur.
Over the tweet, Miss NBC reversed its decision to not renew Cedar's contract. Quote, I appreciate Miss NBC's thoughtful reconsideration and willingness to understand the cynical motives of those who intentionally misrepresented my tweet for their own toxic political purposes, Cedar said in
Does
a statement to The Intercept.
But-
oh, that's a bunch of lies.
He said
that
he's your advertising my pillow.
Nobody misrepresented it or intentionally did. We are experiencing an important and long overdue moment of empowerment for the victims of sexual assault and of reckoning for their perpetrators. I'm proud that MSNBC and its staff have set a clear example of the need to get it right. Why is it the crazy left always proclaims that they're doing good?
I know, it drives me nuts.
When we're doing evil, that's what he said. Why do they proclaim it? Because, hold on, pause. Ladies, this is so obvious. We proclaim we're doing good when we're doing evil, because if you say you're doing evil, then people will think it, they'll know it's evil.
That would sound a little odd. Hey, guys. Hey, Sam. Hey, Andy. Are you guys ready to do some evil in this next block we have on?
Why do bank robbers put on ski masks?
Yeah,
Come on, dude.
Tune in to us spreading evil and carnage on the Majority Report.
Yeah, but Michael, but what do you like? Don't you love that joke, Ms. NBC? Because he's basically saying women could be there.
Well, I mean,
right?
is he saying Ms. as in women, or is he doing like the Limbaugh style, like miseducated?
No.
Miss NBC.
No, he's doing Ms. NBC. In
it's
fact,
female,
literally
what,
saying it's a woman.
What?
Wow.
What Limbaugh does is PMS NBC.
Well, which shows you why Limbaugh's king, because
that's right.
Much better.
PMS NBC.
How about evil Don Adams? Mark Levin. Mr.
It's pretty good.
He's evil Don Adams. Would you believe a Nazi?
How the hell do people listen to that voice?
I tried to yesterday.
Wow.
I listened to him. All right, let's see. Does this guy keep going?
No, but I can't believe it. He's so horrible.
This guy.
So one note.
I wish you could see. He shrinks himself down to literally one, like...
Note.
No, 14th
visually.
Of the screen. and he just puts his head in the corner.
Yeah, though, is that a popular thing now? I mean, the special effects are great, but is that what's going on?
He looks like an angry little bobblehead, and
he could do a show in his pajamas, Michael.
You're literally dominating him in text in his own
video.
I know,
let's hear it. Here we go.
Lies. That's a cover-up fake. Nobody misintent represented it or intentionally did. We are experiencing an important and long overdue moment of empowerment for the victims of sexual assault and of reckoning for their perpetrators. I'm proud that MSNBC and its staff have set a clear example of the need to get it right. Why is it the crazy left always proclaims that they're doing good when they're doing evil? Cernovich is a right-wing provocateur and conspiracy theorist who works in hand in glove. Let's call him a conspiracy theorist when actually all he does is call the news. That's another slander they always do.
He's calling the news.
Who works in hand in glove and with white supremacists. Oh, now Cernovich is a white supremacist.
Well, it's white supremacist, isn't it? Why do they always say supremacist?
He's got white privilege, so he's a white supremacist. In other words, everyone's a white person. You're a white racist now. You're a white supremacist.
Sounds like an Andy says.
Dug up a 2009 tweet from Cedar and claimed it endorsed rape. It didn't claim. The world knows it does.
The tweet
in the tweet, he says that if my daughter ever gets raped, I hope it's by an old man.
Well,
that's
what?
And it is endorsing rape. The tweet was meant as a satirical criticism of accused rapist Roman Polanski's liberal defenders. But Miss NBC, wait a minute, a satire criticism of the defenders? What?
Is this guy a parody account?
If your daughter's going to get raped, you hope it's from an older man.
He's literally doing the joke right now. Yeah, no, this is the one person in America wrong, that can't understand that. Like, he's not reading the whole tweet. Maybe he hasn't seen the whole tweet.
Intercept, and that's what happened here. We made our initial decision for the right reasons, because we don't consider rape to be a funny topic to be joked about. But we've heard the feedback, and we understand that now rape is funny to talk about. So we're going to hire him back, even though the language was not.
He's not reading directly.
That was an interesting part of Phil Griffin's statement. I remember when Phil Griffin said, now we at the MSNBC family think rape jokes are hilarious. We're actually going to encourage, we want Rachel doing more rape jokes. We want Hayes on it. I don't care if it makes Hayes uncomfortable. We do rape jokes now on MSNBC.
Look at this guy down there. Actually, he looks like an avatar now. On the tweet, like, I feel like I want to use this guy as an avatar. Look at the way he's looking at this.
Anybody watching this, this guy just needs to be memed for everything
right now. Oh, my gosh.
Are we sure that he's real?
Well, the thing is, have you tried scrolling down with that guy? You can't scroll down with him. It's impossible.
How awesome would it be to make him your, like, mouse figure, and he's just what? Oh, boy.
What's the monotone of delivery? Is it like, another, add the rest of the story? What's he doing? I don't understand that. I will talk as boring as possible, Ms. NBC.
Is he getting any hits off that?
My character.
Matt, is he getting any hits off that?
I think
I feel like he's got to do just a little bit more homework, because it was a couple of times where he's like, what the hell is that? And then he would just keep going.
He accidentally stumbled into like, oh, shit. That was a satiric tweet, and even I understand that, but I've already put a lot of time into making myself a tiny bobblehead in this video, so I got to finish
I've already done the
editing. I
got to
just power
work.
It through,
son
okay?
This green screening is so difficult in terms of lighting, I've just got to go forward with the video. Damn it!
He went in, like, thinking that you did, like an actual, like, horrible joke, like, hey, Rob Polanski's great. He made
rape,
Chinatown, I don't give a fuck. And then MSNBC rehired you, and he's like, well, this is going to be great. Great video. And you're like, oh, shit.
I got to remember to read the articles beforehand.
He's only got about 1,500 views on that.
He's got to remember to read the tweet beforehand. He doesn't even need to read the article.
Well, you know what it reminds me of? Years ago, years and years ago, this must have been like 8 years ago, maybe more, I would listen to Limbaugh quite a bit. And there was one story he was talking about where it was like, well, I've got here a story of the crazy loony liberal left. and they're enviro-Nazis in Europe, of all places. And he started reading, like, the Swiss Alps. And they have put on the Swiss Alps a big thing of aluminum foil.
Supposedly,
for the hoax that is global warming, the environmentalists have put on a big thing of aluminum foil because they are afraid of the mountain melting. And I read, and he goes, and he goes down, he goes, and environmentalists are against this move by the owners of the hill to extend the ski season. Well, and he read that it was actually the ski resort had put it on there. And environmentalists were saying, hey, you can't do this, man, because it's reflecting off of things and it's going to cause problems. And you don't know what he's going to
still handle it better than that guy. Like he would, like, I feel like if he was doing that, he would be like, and Cedar claims it's satire.
Well, no, but he.
You know, I know. You literally read.
What happened is his producers had yellowed what parts he was supposed to read, and they yellowed the wrong parts, and so he immediately had to go. Like, and okay, we'll be right back. And it just cut, and it was, it made me understand like how he was mailing it in at that point.
And Hannity would have read all of the quotes, even the wrong ones, and not understood that he messed up.
Hannity would just
Hannity would just power through.
Did you say Kennedy?
Yes, Kennedy.
Yes,
John Kennedy from MTV.
Yeah. Oh, no. God. I didn't even remember her. I was just thinking of JFK as a right-wing talk show.
Oh, JFK. Have you seen that Republican John Kennedy? You can really see why he was named after JFK.
This is what the Democrats do.
So,
what's that?
Andy, what else is going on with you? What is next in Andy Kindler's...
I don't know. I'm not used to a victory. This was like a victory. I expected it was going to get... You know, who knew? We're back on top, baby. Is Trump not president? Is this? Oh, okay. What did I do? Why'd you guys? You abandoned me. I don't have a. I'm just here. You guys have yourselves. Are you making faces at yourself?
No.
Like a can't believe.
No. I'm
is
sorry.
Is he the new Dennis Miller? I couldn't find one new Dennis Miller.
Nah, I know.
Online.
We looked. He seems to be really laying low.
He's laying low. Except if you go to like tickets. He's like doing it. He's doing. I think he couldn't get into Branson.
Could we?
But
could
he's
we
Branson adjacent.
You couldn't get into Branson.
No, Dennis Miller. He can't get a theater yet because there's a big waiting list.
Is
people?
Is there a way we could like maybe we should take some of that crowdfunding money that we got and send Andy as a correspondent to a Dennis Miller?
Oh
show.
My God, we need to do that.
Would you do that?
Is that
honestly something you would like to do?
Oh, absolutely! But I think is he opening up for? Is he still O'Reilly and him tour?
That was the last I heard. It's gonna be like, so Miller, this whore is suing me. Yeah, Billy. Well, maybe you shouldn't have put her hand in her under her dress. I hate you, Billy. Oh, you hate me? Yeah. Well, I hate you too. You got any new jokes, Miller? Yeah. The college campuses are like a Haranian-ish Bosch painting. Look, can I just go home?
It's like calling in a Scotsie on a Tuesday. Anyway, can I go home?
I like that Miller has gotten to some type of like negative Zen state. Like it's not evolved, but it's if you have like nihilism with like maybe some sense of awareness and compassion, maybe that is evolved. But he really has reached like.
Do you think it's that? Do you think like Andy? Let me ask you this: do you think that Dennis Miller realizes like, oh God, I took a wrong turn 15 years ago, and there's no going back. It's like you had two. There was a fork in the road. You take the one that is straight down, and you are basically at the pit of hellfire, and you realize like, I'm not getting out of here.
I was sitting on Jay Leno's couch talking about Bin Laden being at the San Francisco Pride Parade, and everybody was laughing.
Oh, wait a second.
And now,
what am I doing? Hold on one second.
And now I'm sitting here with Billy while he gets residuals from sexual harassment claims trying to drum up a joke about a girl at Oberlin who didn't want to be assaulted. Bop, bop, bop.
God.
Well, you know, the thing is, I think he really does. That's when he knows when he's on with O'Reilly on radio. Oh, I think he just hits him. Oh my God! I used to be on.
Yes, I put the batteries in this.
Oh fucking A! We got the Miller doll.
I don't have time to do this now.
No, but I think you're right. I think there's some combination of general existential malaise, which is coming across.
He's depressed.
He's depressed
when he hears it.
And then I think that there is that's this sense that like. Man, I used to be a big star, but then at least I was still doing Fox hits, and now my main conduit to Fox is like off because he's a serial sexual harasser, and we're doing a podcast.
I tried to do it with
tired, man. And Varney doesn't think I'm funny. Just leave me alone.
Let me just.
Varney doesn't get him.
He doesn't get him.
What can we do?
All right.
I like Miller better than Varney, though. I will say that.
For the next time you're on, Andy. All right.
Oh, okay.
All right, and we could even cut this up as a video because I want Andy to see this. So we're going to have to cut this up as a tease for the next time you're on.
Beautiful. Andy? Well, I just wish I had been angrier today, but I'm celebrating so much because I love you, Sam. I love your show. I'm telling you that this made me so happy. And when I'm in the right, you know, usually I'm half wrong about things. But when I'm in the right, watch out.
Watch out. All right, you ready? We're going to tease this for next time. I'm holding him up. There he is. Ladies and gentlemen. I do it like this. Oh, yeah. I have here in my hand the Dennis Miller action doll from back when he was a famed conservative pundit. When during the run up to the Iraq War, he was a hero of the right.
You know what I think every time I see something like this?
But here's the best part, because I put in new batteries.
Yeah. For an eye and a tooth for a tooth with terrorists, but every time I see them on TV, all the teeth are rotted out of their heads, or else they've lost an eye because they saw a chick's ankle somewhere along the way.
Bin Laden was very he had it, you know, his teeth were good, man. Yeah, fake news.
Bombs they strap to their chest. I have absolutely no idea what makes the Palestinians tick.
There you go. There he is.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That was when he had energy. But look, don't you every time I see
hold
something
on, wait
like,
a second.
Don't
I'm doing
you
the
always
tease.
Think
that is so
of
dark.
The Chinese kids that had to make this?
Yeah, I'm just doing the tease here. So next time we're gonna play all of them. All of the
more.
Oh, there's like 20 little things that are programmed into this, and we just got some of the choice ones.
Some kid in a sweatshop in Asia had to make this thing.
Listen, and I'm doing the tease for next time that you're on. If you're not watching this space for Andy Kindler to come on when we play every single one of these Dennis Miller things, you're making a big mistake.
Watch this space.
Watch this space for this.
No, I'm saying,
Dominus,
come on, watch the space.
Brute. Well, I don't know.
I want to see one now. The current, you know what? I would buy the current Miller doll. It'd be like a sad little doll. And he'd just be like, yeah, hey, Billy.
I don't want to be here.
I don't want to be here. I'm depressed.
Andy,
I eat cookies. I don't leave my house.
Thank you so much for
I love you.
Your help.
I'm
really
so excited about this. Nobody deserves it more than you. I mean, not the bad stuff, the good stuff.
Right.
More than you, because no, you are a definition of a mensch. You've been friends with me for so long, and even when I've been unpleasant, you've been
a friend.
You've
never been unpleasant. What?
No, you know, in the old days, I used to complain about everything, and I don't know. I think of myself in the '90s, running around going, why is that guy have a show?
Oh, I didn't pick up on that. I didn't listen to you really back then.
I love you, Sam.
Thanks, Andy. Thanks,
I love you, Michael.
Everybody. Thanks for the help.
Love you, too.
All right. He was going to say he loves everybody. I don't know who he was going to say he loved. All right, folks. Going to head into the fun half, wherein we will have fun for about 40 minutes. And again, thank you to all of you folks who, the listeners of this program, were so supportive of me, of the show. You really circled the wagons and you made people understand what was going on in a way that, I mean, it was crazy. The media exposure that this got was crazy. And if you guys hadn't been like you guys were like the T that just, that held the ball up there. And then it just got smacked. I don't know. I'm trying to find a metaphor.
It was like an alley-oop. You guys shot the alley-oop.
It was, no.
Everybody else
like
dunked it. Yeah, dude, it was better than
yours.
Oh,
you passed. You made the pass.
You passed, excuse me.
Okay,
I'm tired,
I see what
too.
You're
you passed the alley-oop.
Yes,
and
okay.
And everybody besides David Duke and that Jesus guy dunked it.
Yeah, just those two guys.
Yeah.
It was tough for them.
Yeah.
And
well, even Mike says he's happy. Weird Mike said that he was happy yesterday. I did a segment on it.
Well,
I'm thrilled with MSNBC's
decision. I feel like he vacillated because then he tweeted out stuff that was a little bit different.
Well, maybe
he didn't seem so happy on that interview with Bob Garfield.
Oh, I love that. I love having freaked out. And you will not distort me.
That is
I'm very
weird,
happy.
Isn't it, Mike? Weird.
I'm happy.
Mike. All right, we're going to take
it. Who's laughing now, Sam?
What? I'm sorry, would you say something?
Who's laughing now, Sam?
Oh, Sam. Well, everybody in here.
Yeah.
okay, folks, thank you again. If you are a member, you can join us in the fun half, and you can become a member by joining the Majority Report, and you can join the Majority Report by going to jointhemajorityreport.com, wherein you can become a member. Oh, and here's the other thing. I remember back in the day where we used to have that link, majorityreportkickback.com, and maybe some of you already went to the respective links. Go there again. I want to be too cryptic about it, but, just go there again to relink for any of your holiday shopping from jet.com or Amazon. The other big one. Because the old link is no good, but we have the new one at the majorityreportkickback.com. All right, folks. Don't forget you can check out TMBS on iTunes or on our YouTube channel. And justcoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Use the coupon code for 7 more days, MR Holiday, and get 30% off. Just Coffee stood by us. If I hadn't heard from Just Coffee on the advertising, this thing would have turned out much, much differently. Much, much differently. They had our back big time. And just so happens, coincidentally, they're having their holiday sale. So it's a great time to try out their coffee. JustCoffee.coop, 30% off with MR Holiday. And we'll go to the fun half, 646-257-3920. See you in a minute.
You are in for it.
All right, folks, 646-257-3920. See you in the fun half.
Are you ready?
Who sent us this?
Anarchy. Alpha males are back. Back. Boy is back, and the alpha males are back.
Just as delicious as you can imagine.
The alpha males are back. Boy is back, and the alpha males are back.
Just want to degrade the white man.
Alpha males are back.
I take all of it in my throat.
Alpha males are back.
Almost as what?
The alpha males are back.
You are a madman.
And the alpha males are back.
I am a total cunt.
Can we bring back DJ Danerke's song, please?
Yeah, or a couple of them. Just put them in rotation.
DJ Danerke.
Well, the problem with those is they're like 45 seconds long, so I don't know if they're enough of a break for people.
That's fucking nonsense.
Hey, folks, fucking reminder.
I do not have Parkinson's.
And the alpha males are...
Psych. Fuck them.
Homo says what?
What?
Homo says what?
Hell of a lot of bank.
Have you tried doing an impression on a college campus?
I think that there's no reason why reasonable people across the divide can't all agree with this. Psych.
And the alpha males are back. And the Africans are black.
African and the alpha males are back, 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 back. And the Africans are black, 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 black.
See Donald Trump out there? Doesn't a little part of you think that America deserves to be taken over by jihadists?